We're continuing this morning our series on the fruit of the Spirit. Last week we talked about the fruit of love, how God has called us to bear love, and this week we're looking at joy. Now I've given you all some homework each week. It's the same homework every week, and we're going to see if at some point I can get a good majority of you to do this. How many of you all have memorized Galatians 5, 22, and 23, the fruit of the Spirit? How many of you guys have done that? The same one from last week. Two, we've got it. We've got an extra one. We've doubled this week. That's wonderful. If we keep doubling all through the nine fruit of the Spirit, it'll end up being all of us, the power of multiplication, right? Just so that we are all on the same page together, let's read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. And actually, I've put it up on the screen just so we can start working on memorizing these fruits of the Spirit. Let's all read it together. Let's follow along with the translation we have up on the screen. Can you read that with me? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Very good. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. See, that's the problem when you leave your microphone on and you think you have it memorized and you say the wrong word. I'm glad you guys were going with me. So, yes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We are going to look at each of these nine fruit over the next several weeks. And so I hope that you'll take some time over the next month or two to memorize this passage of Scripture. And as we do, hopefully you'll recollect back to our messages on what each of these fruit mean. So in this series, we're not asking the question, how do I receive fruit of the Spirit? And when I become a Christian, how does this give me something? Instead, the command is, if we are a Christian, we will bear these fruit. So we're not asking how do we receive love and how do we receive joy and how do we receive peace and so on and so forth. But instead, how am I supposed to live so that my life reflects these characteristics? How am I supposed to live so that I bear love? And each week we're going to look at an example in Scripture of someone who is bearing that specific fruit. Last week we looked at the Good Samaritan, the parable Jesus tells of the man who stopped and gave all of his resources that he could to help an individual in need. And we talked about what it looked like to bear love. This week we're looking at joy. What does it look like for me to bear joy? Now, some of you are naturally joyful people. If you're a naturally joyful person, excitedly raise your hand right now. All right. If you are not a naturally joyful person, cross your arms and give me a grimace right now. All right. Excellent. Yeah. Some people have more joy and other people are, I'll say how my wife puts it. There are optimists and then there are realists. And so some of you all are more realists than you are optimists. You're more grounded is what you would say than you are joyful. This morning, I wonder if the fruit of joy is only a command for those who are naturally bubbly people. Or if the command is for us to bear the fruit of joy, whether we're naturally optimistic or not. Now, all of us have days that are bad, that we just don't feel good about ourselves, that we're just down and out, and we don't feel like expressing joy. It's just not a very joyful day. How many of you all have had, we'll say in the last month, a really bad day that you've just thought, this is awful, all right? Most of you, all of us have at some point in our life, and unfortunately, they happen more often than we like. I have some encouragement for you this morning. There are some people who are having a worse day than you. You are not at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to joy. Here's just a few examples of people who are having a worse day than you. The first is this individual who hurriedly got up in the morning to brush his teeth. And so he grabbed his toothbrush and he grabbed what he thought was toothpaste. Now, if you can't see what that is diaper rash relief cream. Let me go ahead and say, this is not Josiah's diaper rash relief cream. This is an internet picture, not my own, right? But I guarantee you, this person is having a worse day than you. I guess you can say he made a rash decision. And now you're all having a bad day again. Sorry about that. Or how about this person? Whenever you're having a bad day, think about this guy who somehow or another got covered in tiny cactus plants. Now, I don't want to even fathom what he was doing to be covered in the amount of cactus that he is covered in, but obviously the paramedics are there to help this guy out. Next time you're having a rough day, think, it could be worse. I could be like the guy who fell into the cactus plants. Or parents, whenever you're having a bad day, be thankful that you did not receive this note home from your child's school. This is a note someone received that in their school day, there was a bowel movement, and then underneath there, here's what I want you to, if you can read the cursive, it says, check backpack. Now, if you get that note that your student has had a bowel movement and you need to check their backpack, it is a bad day, okay? I'm pretty sure one of our middle school teachers wrote that. No, I don't know where that came from. This morning, I want to talk about joy, even in difficult days, even in difficult times. And remember that our days could be worse, but can we just be honest for a moment? Sometimes we have days that are really, really, really bad. We just don't feel up. We feel down. We don't feel good about ourselves, and we don't feel good about our circumstances, and we find it very difficult to bear the fruit of joy. Our example of someone who is bearing joy this morning is the Apostle Paul. And we're going to read a little bit in the book of Philippians. If you have your Bible, and I hope you do, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Really, all of Philippians, all four chapters, is an example of Paul expressing joy. Now, we're going to focus on this opening 11 verses, but we're going to highlight several places in Philippians. So, if you have your Bible, follow along. We'll be in one of those four chapters the entire sermon this morning. But just as a background of this letter that Paul is writing, Philippians is a letter Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, to the Philippian people. And as he's writing them, he is sitting in a jail cell, chained to a Roman guard, arrested for sharing his faith and proclaiming the gospel. He's been beaten and tortured. Now, we find out elsewhere that there's been several times he's been beaten to the max capacity without being killed. He's at the bottom of the bottom. And if you are having a bad day, I promise you, you are not having as bad a day as Paul has had several months. There is no freedom that Paul has whatsoever. He's given his life to serve Christ, and his reward has been imprisonment and torture. And it's in this setting that Paul writes the book of Philippians, the letter to the church of Philippi. And of all of Paul's writings, of all the letters in the New Testament that he writes, of everything we know about Paul, there is no place that we find the word joy or rejoice more than in the book of Philippians. When Paul is at his lowest, he is bearing the fruit of joy. And so with that background, I just want to read, let's just read the first 11 verses of Philippians, knowing that it is just an introduction and a taste to this letter that he is writing in the pit of a jail cell to the people of Philippi. Read with me starting in verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, that's addressing who's writing the letter, to all the saints in Christ who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. After his introduction, he writes, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my prayer, because of the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace. Both in my imprisonment, there's a reference to him being in prison, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You know, if I was sitting in a jail cell and opening a letter to one of you or to the Church of First Baptist in Robinson, if I'm sitting in a jail cell, I'm probably opening it up saying, "Will somebody please rescue me?" I'm probably writing a letter that says, "These are my conditions and how difficult it is." I'm probably writing a letter detailing the unfair treatment I have received. And Paul begins his letter by saying, "Hey guys, I miss you and I love you. And I'm praying joyfully for you. And I want you to know that everything that is happening in my imprisonment and in my preaching of the gospel, it is all in God's hands and for His praise and for His glory." He's going to go on through the rest of the letter and continue this theme of joy. And so we're going to follow along with him in the book of Philippians a little bit this morning. And as we do, if you have your bulletin, there's a sentence that's going to summarize for you what it looks like when you bear joy. There's a few blanks we'll fill in as we go. But what does it look like to bear joy? I hope you'll follow along and track with us as we study Philippians this morning. For starters, we need to know this about joy. Joy is not based on our circumstances. We tend to believe that joy has a direct connection to what's happening in our life right now. So, just a month ago today, my wife gave birth to our son, and it was an extremely joyful day. That day, it was easy for me to be rejoicing and joyful in the Lord. In the weeks that have gone since, I've had an immense amount of joy with my son. Especially during the days, there's been one or two nights where I've been up with him, wandering around like a zombie, trying to get him to sleep and trying to give mom a break because she never gets one. And in those times, can I confess to you, it's been very difficult for me to find joy. It's easy for me to find joy when he's laughing and when he's giggling or when he's smiling and when he's learning new things. It's a lot harder for me to find joy when I'm changing a diaper, when he's soiled a diaper that I've just changed 2 seconds ago, or when he's being stubborn like his mother, right? Our circumstances typically is what dictates our happiness and our joy. It's what dictates whether we feel good and up or whether we feel bad and down. And so when we get a promotion at work, we have joy. When we lose our job, we lose our joy. When we have an exciting thing happen in our family, a marriage or a birth or something that adds to our family, there's joy. When we experience a loss, there's grief and a lack of joy. And we typically assign our level of joy to our surrounding circumstances. This morning, if we're going to learn how to bear the fruit of joy, we must stop connecting the joy with the circumstance, because joy is not based on our circumstances. Paul's circumstances would have dictated that he had no joy, none. Would have dictated that he be depressed and miserable, sitting in a jail cell, chained 24 hours a day to a guard, unable to have any amount of freedom whatsoever. His circumstances lacked joy. And yet he knew that his joy was not based on his current condition. That's why in chapter 4 of Philippians, if you're still in Philippians, look over in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Paul writes, "I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know both how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need." Paul says, "I understand that my circumstances will not dictate my joy. I can be content when I have nothing, the same as I can be content when I have everything. I can be joyful when I'm in prison, the same as I can be joyful when I'm standing before my church and preaching the gospel. I can be joyful in any and every circumstance, because our joy is not based on circumstances." This morning, I understand that there are things that happen in your life, circumstances that are out of your control, that naturally suck the joy out of your life. I've been there. We've all been there. And we understand there are difficulties we have to trudge through. And it is important as we study the Scriptures this morning that we separate this feeling and emotion of joy from the circumstance that we're in. And so if you're filling in your sentence, we need to first understand that we bear joy when we accept our circumstances. God, this is the path you've given me. We accept that this is our life, and this is what is going on. It is not always easy to accept our circumstances. We'd much rather have someone else's circumstances. We'd much rather feel good and feel that emotion of joy. And yet we have to come to a place where we say, God, if this is the life you've given me, if this is the path you've put before me, I can accept having little the same as I can accept having a lot. And so if we are going to bear the fruit of joy, the first step is simply acknowledging, God, this is the life you've given me, and I can accept that. Notice I did not write on here that we can feel good about those things. Because joy is more than a feeling, it is an expression. So that doesn't mean you have to say, God, I accept my circumstances, and I'm so thankful that I lost my job. It's such a pleasant feeling that I'm without income now. It doesn't say that I can be happy that I've lost a loved one. It doesn't say I can be joyful that difficulty has come on my life. It simply says we accept it. We understand that God is in control. And so that leads us to our next truth about joy, and that is that God gives us what is ultimately best for us. Our circumstances are not an accident. God gives us what is ultimately best for us. This is a truth that if we can wrap our minds around, it will change our outlook completely on life. It will take us from being joyless to bearing a joyful life. Knowing that all of our circumstances are given to us as blessings from God. He knows what is best for us. And there are times what is best for us is not easy. That's why we see individually that God gives us what is best for us. In Philippians 1:6, he tells them, you as individuals, I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul is telling the Philippians here in chapter 1, what God has started in you, the circumstances he's put you in, he is going to bring about to full fruition. You are going to make it to the end, and you will see that God had a plan for you the entire way. You as an individual, God has you as an individual, a plan for you in mind, and he will carry out that plan to completion. God personally wants to do what is best for you. And not only does he want to do it personally, but he wants to do it corporately with the body of Christ as well, with humanity as well. That's why he writes in verse 12, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel. My circumstances, Paul says, are more than about me. They're not just about how I feel. They're not just about how I'm growing and how I'm doing. Sure, God has a plan for me individually, but you know what? God is using my circumstance to help others. He is growing me, but he's also using my difficulty, using my circumstances for his ultimate plan to help others. And God knows what is best. He is carrying that out in my life and in others through me. This idea that God gives us what ultimately is best for us will transform our way of thinking about our circumstances. Instead of saying, why, God? Why would you do this to me? We have no choice but to say, God, I know that this is what is best, even though I don't like it. We understand this concept of doing what is best, not always what feels good. And if you are a parent, you understand it better than anyone else. You learn very quickly that giving your kid everything they want and what makes them feel good does not always lead to what's best for them. And so we understand that although our kid thinks it would be fun to put a fork in the light socket, while that's what they think is best for them, we step back and say, no, you cannot do that. That will harm you. And we ruin their fun in the moment. And they cry and they throw a fit and they're mad. Why won't you let me put this into that? It fits perfectly. And they don't get it. Parents, you understand as your kids get older and they're teenagers that they want to hang out with a certain crowd and a certain people, and you know that that's not what's best for them. You understand that that's going to pull them away from their faith in Christ. It's going to influence them away from the Word of God, and so you tell them, no, you can't go there and you can't be with them. And your kids will look at you and they will say, you hate me. Why would you keep me from having fun? By the way, I don't have teenagers yet, but I can remember being a teenager and saying those exact words to my mother. Why won't you let me go and do this? Don't you trust me? And yet parents can, in their wisdom, say, I know what's better for you than you know what's best for you. And ultimately, I want what is best for you. And as parents, we understand fully that God has what's best in mind, even when we don't understand it. And so if we're going to bear joy, we bear joy when we accept our circumstances as God's blessing and not as God's curse. We bear joy when we accept our circumstances as God's blessing. God, I don't feel good about what you're doing right now. However, I know it's what's best for me. We have a habit and a tendency to let our circumstances pull us away from God. They make us angry. We get vengeful. God, why would you do this to me? When we see if we're going to bear joy, we instead turn that thought around and say, God, you are doing this to me because it's best. I don't like it and I don't see the big picture, but I understand that your interest is for me to succeed. And then finally, we understand when it comes to joy that thankfulness reflects our trust in God's plan. Thankfulness reflects our trust in God's plan. It's amazing to me that the book of Philippians has so much to say about joy and rejoicing and thankfulness. Over and over and over again, we see Paul expressing gratitude to God for the condition that he is in a jail cell. Every chapter mentions joy or rejoicing or thankfulness in some way. And these aren't even all of the scriptures on joy, but let's just look at one from each chapter. Verse 4, Paul says, I'm always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer. I'm giving thanks joyfully for you. In chapter 2, verse 18, he says, in the same way, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. Paul says, you should be as joyful as this guy sitting in a jail cell. Rejoice and be thankful for where you're at. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, in addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you again about this is no trouble for me. It's a safeguard for you. Rejoice and be thankful. And then in chapter 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And by the way, in case you haven't heard it a million times, I will say it again. Rejoice. Be thankful. Understand that God's plan is coming to fruition in your life. Understand that these circumstances that are seemingly sucking away the emotion of joy and happiness are actually God's blessing in your life, revealing a plan to you. And when we understand that God is working in our lives through our trials and through our troubles, we cannot help but accept our circumstances as God's blessing and express gratitude. God, you are a good God. Lord, I don't feel good about my situation, but I know you are in control. And I know your way is better than my way. And I have no choice but to surrender and say, Lord, I will accept the life I have because it is a blessing from you, growing me personally and working to grow others through me. And I want to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for using me. We bear joy, that does not mean we feel happy. And let's separate joy and happy. Because there are sometimes we bear joy when we are sad. There are sometimes we bear joy when we don't feel optimistic about things. But we bear joy when we can look at our circumstances and accept them as God's blessing in our lives, working His will in us. And we simply say, Lord, I thank You that You're using this in some way. You know, it's funny to me that we equate joy and happiness so much. But in Scripture, joy and happiness aren't typically the words that are linked together. You know what word is typically linked to happy? And it's not joy. It's not what we think it is. Instead, we find the word linked to happy is blessing. We are most happy when we are in God's blessing. We experience that emotion of pleasure when we realize that God has given us exactly what we need. And so our happiness is not based on our circumstances, it's based on what God has given us. It's based on the blessings we have from Him. Joy, however, needs to be separated. We can be sad and joyful because joy is accepting our circumstances as God's blessing and expressing gratitude. By the way, you will find yourself feeling better about your circumstance and your situation emotionally when you can accept your circumstances as God's blessing and give thanks to God for it. He does this amazing thing where He even makes us feel joyful in difficult times when we are fully trusting Him in our lives. So this morning, as we think of bearing the fruit of joy, I wonder what circumstances life has thrown at us. And if we're feeling joyful right now, if we're feeling beat up or run down, and I wonder if we can bear that fruit of joy even through our trials, even through our difficulties. This morning, salvation is found, according to Scripture, when we trust solely in Jesus Christ to be the one who forgives our sin and our guilt, but also leads us and guides us. Salvation is found when we surrender our lives to His plan and His will. And it's in that moment that we experience joy. When we say, God, my circumstances are my own doing. My own sin has separated me from You. I can accept the condition that I'm in, but I cannot stay here. And so I need You to give me the blessing of salvation, forgiveness through Jesus Christ. I need You to give me guidance in life. I need You to give me the right path. Salvation is found when we say, thank You, Lord, for bringing me through all the junk that I've been through and growing me so that I can fully surrender to Your will. This morning, regardless of your circumstances and your situations, we can bear joy by accepting where we're at, by receiving God's blessing and acknowledging His will in our lives, and thanking Him, genuinely thanking Him with gratitude in our hearts for all that He's done, good and bad. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you that my joy is not based on my circumstances. I thank You that when I feel down, You don't keep me down, but You give me a way to express joy. And Lord, I want to be like Paul. I want to be like the man sitting in a prison cell, feeling that all hope is lost, and yet recognizing Your blessing, how You're using it to further Your kingdom in his own life and in others. Lord, I want to be like Paul who over and over and over again expresses gratitude, rejoicing in what You've done in his life, thanking You for both the exciting times in life and the trials. Lord, I pray that You would help us bear that fruit of joy in thankfulness and gratitude, rejoicing in all circumstances, when we have little and when we have much, when we feel good about ourselves and when we feel depressed. Lord, we pray every circumstance that we're in would be a reflection of the blessing You have in our lives, working in and through us. And Lord, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts. We thank You for working in our lives in the way that is best for us. Lord, this morning, if there is anyone out there who has lacked joy, who has never experienced the blessing of salvation, who is sitting in a circumstance of sin separated from You, Lord, I pray that they would accept their condition and understand that it is one that needs to change and turn their life over to You. Lord, I pray that as they ask forgiveness for the wrongs in their life, as they seek forgiveness from sin, I pray that they would receive forgiveness according to the promise of your word. I pray that they would then humble themselves and submit to your will. And Lord, as you pour out blessings in their life, both positive and both difficult, we pray that you would grow them in their faith, grow them in gratitude, and let them bear the fruit of joy. Lord, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.